This whole thing is a bit kind of like adultery. Now I'm in love with this jacket and somebody else owns it and it goes back to him and he knows that I've been wearing it, and how do we both relate to this open marriage we have with this jacket?
Who knew that a simple black jacket could elicit such strong feelings? Well, Iris Hausler, for one, was at least hoping people's powerful imagination could provoke just such a reaction.
And it's just sparked through a little garment here. This is fantastic. I mean, what better could happen? I would not have intended it in the beginning to be carried out so deeply into their lives, but it's beautiful if it happens.
Here in Toronto there's a famous man, but this guy must be insane. His prices are so low, any day he'll be broke. Honest, that is his name.
Hausler is a conceptual and installation artist, and the creative force behind Honest Threads, an unusual loaned clothing art installation at Toronto's iconic discount retail emporium, Honest Eds, at the corner of Bathurst and Bloor Streets.
In Ottawa, he made an arrangement that should turn out to be very...
1 month before the opening, an article in the local newspaper invited Torontonians to participate in the process, and a team of 12 recruiters spread the idea word of mouth.
H-O-N-E-S-T-E-D, Honest Ed, crazy Honest Ed.
People who wanted to take part in this project were asked to, first of all, to look into their closet if they find something that has meaning for them and that they might have for a longer time. And then the rule was you give this garment, it will be rented out, and you also deliver a little story or just a line with it that gives some background information about it, and a photograph of the owner wearing it or of your ancestor wearing it or your friend or whatever.
The results surprised even Hausler.
Because some of the stories are intimate here. People really opened up. I was amazed when I got the stories and the garments. I mean, some are just shallow and some are historical and really deep and telling something, but some are really personal. And then you think, do I have to know, you know, when this person was wearing this and this garment and what it meant? But that's part of the project.
The end result looks like a vintage clothing boutique. 118 articles of clothing are displayed on 4 hanging racks in a burgundy painted display area on Honest Ed's second floor. Along the walls are the pictures and framed stories.
Oh, there's Wendy's sweater.
That go with each garment.
Which is from the top down?
The left-hand one. It's like a joke, you know?
Honest Ed's no Bloomin' Rose, but his bargains are worth picking.
Pretty bad, eh?
Oh, yeah.
He sells pins and needles, shoes and tacks, shirts and ties and household wax. H-O-N-E-S-T-E-D. Honest Ed. Crazy Honest Ed.
Visitors can borrow any of the loaned items, and after leaving a credit card deposit, can wear it for 5 days.
I borrowed an absolutely fantastic jacket made by a famous Japanese designer called Yoshi Yamamoto. I'm Martha Bailey and I'm a Toronto novelist. The shirt that I loaned was a white shirt my father wore during the Navy in Alexandria in Egypt. And as a child I've been told I couldn't try on his greatcoat because that denoted rank. It was not a toy. And while I was rereading my little piece hung on the wall in this room, I looked up and there was a man wearing a double-breasted dark coat with 2 rows of pale buttons down the front, and it reminded me of a naval jacket, so I read the story. And it's the story of this jacket, which involved a film by Wim Wenders. It was a long, convoluted story of how this jacket ended up. Black suit jacket, Eric Woodley. As a student in New York, in 1987, I accompanied my girlfriend to Soho to help her look for her first nicely made dress. On a whim, I tried on a black suit jacket. It fit so astonishingly and strangely well that it seemed to become my skin. I had to put it back on the rack because I had next to no money. And later, all I could remember about it was what my girlfriend had told me, that it was the work of a Japanese designer, a man who only made clothes in black. Or did I just imagine that? It sounded so unreal. I wished I knew his name and I could find another piece of his work. In 1992, I went to the Cinémathèque Ontario to see Wim Wenders' film called Notebooks on Cities and Clothes. It turned out to be a kind of meditation on the relationship between Tokyo and Paris and between clothing design, production, and filmmaking. It began with Wim Wenders saying, in voiceover, that the first time he tried on a Yoshi Yamamoto suit was the most extraordinary thing because it fit so naturally, it felt like his own skin. Hearing this, I thought, that's it. It must be the same guy. I found this coat in a small shop that's long been closed and was located in the Yorkville block that was demolished when they built the Hazelton Hotel. It's a fantastic jacket. It's very luscious. It's made of incredibly gorgeous dark corduroy. And the way it's cut, I had my husband try it on. He said he'd never worn a garment that was so fantastic. But I only dared wear it a tiny bit outdoors because it's extraordinary and I'd hate to have anything happen to it. But it's transformative. You put this jacket on and you feel different.
Most of the items on display are from everyday Torontonians, but there was a dash of celebrity sprinkled into the mix. When social worker and sweater contributor Julie Markham slipped on the tan gabardine jacket from one of Ed Mervish's custom-made suits, she too felt its transformative power.
I feel like I could sell something already. Or I'm funnier. I'm definitely funnier.
Poet and York University English professor David Goldstein was looking for some good mojo, too.
This chef's jacket that used to, I guess, still belongs to Jamie Kennedy that he donated is tempting. I've actually never been to one of Jamie Kennedy's restaurants, but I'm an amateur chef and I teach food and writing at York University. So I'm always interested in stories about food and connections to food. So I think this is, I'm going to have to wear this jacket and do a little cooking. See if the vibe enters me and I become suddenly a much better chef.
Museum director and teacher Hooley McLaughlin cautiously chose Ed Mervish's famous white wool dinner jacket.
When I took the jacket, I did feel, as I said, I felt unusual. At first, it almost felt like somebody was with me. And I know this sounds kind of weird, but it's like, I thought, okay, I'm walking through Honest Ed's, wearing Honest Ed's jacket. I almost thought, okay, people are going to look at me and go, what are you doing with Honest Ed's jacket on? Or Honest Ed himself would be next to me saying, it's my jacket or something. It was funny because I was walking around just looking over my shoulder and thinking this. It was a bit eerie.
A fellow came over from England and he went down Bloor Street away.
Honest Ed won't squeal. He lets his bargains do the talking.
Honest Ed is a lazy lout. He won't get his prices up.
Excellency, it stands for Honest Ed.
Honest Ed's no midwife, but the bargains he delivers are real babies.
E-S-T-E-D, Honest Ed, crazy Honest Ed.
For Hausler, a large part of the art and the creative process occurred well before the in-store installation. And for many people, that process proved much more difficult than just lending a shirt or a tie.
Because when you start looking for something, you open up a drawer that you haven't looked in for a long time. And I mean it in a metaphoric way, that all of a sudden you encounter pieces that you have not given a thought for a long time. And then people started to pull something out and they noticed they cannot even give this garment away because it might be from their mother who has passed away. So they needed to consider the opinion of a sibling or whatever, their father. So they were basically then asked to investigate into their family or friends' history even more. And then the trust to pass that on, to give that to someone you do not know, in a society, you know, in the city that appears anonymous, that's another thing you ask for. That's a lot. And a lot, some people said, you know what, I would love to take part in that, but I feel I cannot part with this garment, or I do not want someone else to touch it. So what you see in the end here, I always say, is just the tip of the iceberg. Behind of each of such story, I would say, are 4 to 10 other people who have not delivered or who were asked too late or who could not imagine the project. And then when they came to the opening, they said, oh my gosh, if I would have known how beautiful it turns out, then I would have given something, you know. So it's a tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
despite, or maybe because of, its garish signage, corny marketing slogans, battered display bins, and prison-like security, Honest Ed's is an institution in Toronto. Hooley McLaughlin and his wife lived on nearby Albany Street in the 1960s.
We had a roof that we sat out on, and from the roof you could see Honest Ed's. We would go there and buy the cheap Honest Ed's hot dogs that were for sale back then. We got all our clothing there. We had friends, a friend of my wife's used to call dresses she bought there Eddie bags. You know, they just throw out an Eddie bag. And then we used to take little trips into Honest Ed's and look at the, you know, like the portrait, the Da Vinci's Last Supper done in hammered out metal with bright spangles or something like that. And we still go there. In fact, I go to Honest Ed's at least once a week just to shop. So it's not like this is an uncommon thing for me. Honest Ed's is a fixture in our lives. It's extremely important.
And of course he walked all the way. They offered him the train for $1.98, but he couldn't afford it that day. In Ottawa he made an arrangement.
This exhibit wound up at Honest Ed's partly because sponsoring gallery Koffler Center of the Arts is undergoing a radical makeover that won't be complete until 2011. But when entrance to the refurbished Art Gallery of Ontario runs about $20, for artist Hausler...
This is not accidentally a chosen place, Honest Ed's. It's a place that I have chosen because it is part of the project. Honest Ed's is free to enter. You don't have to buy your ticket. And the shoppers, so walking into this, are actually the crowd I would love to represent with this project too. But most of them are not yet there regarding the integration in society or language skills or whatever, because a lot of those people are really new immigrants, completely people who start fresh here, who come from somewhere where, you know, they have basically they have no car, they don't go up to the Walmarts or whatever. They end up at Honest Ed's to buy their pants and pots and shoes. And I'm really interested in those stories and those people. So if someone then spends a little time here and feels not intimidated by the setup and there's an intertwining action happening, that's perfect. That's beautiful.
Here's one of those accidental gallery patrons Iris is trying to connect to.
My name is Victoria, and I've been coming to Honest Ed's since I was a little girl with my parents. Actually, my mom's here too. My dad's around here somewhere, obviously, in the men's department always, and I'll slowly keep coming back as long as it's here.
Several items caught her eye.
Her face got to me. I was like, what's going on here? And the guy over here with his kid and the wedding dress over there, the guy with the red jacket, something for $7, and he still has it, and... You know, something little like that you don't have to spend a lot of money on, but it brings you comfort, right? Right? Just like here, when I shop here.
Show curator Mona Phillip of the Koffler Center feels this type of show, while not your traditional paint-on-canvas exhibition, actually helps make art more accessible to a broad audience.
Well, I think this project actually really does that well, because it's not intimidating in any way. It's something that people can connect with very immediately. You know, everybody has this kind of personal stories that, you know, connected to what they wear. And, you know, even though we say that clothes don't make a person, they are, I think, very connected to our personalities, and they tell a lot about our history and our past, our present. We all have the experience of going through secondhand stores and wondering about the stories that those clothes have. So I think it really functions on a very familiar level that people can right away enter, and, you know, it doesn't feel as intimidating as sometimes contemporary art exhibitions can be. It doesn't really require a special vocabulary or a special background knowledge. I mean, you can, you know, think of all kinds of theories of relational practices and all kinds of art community jargon, but it's not really necessary for somebody who just comes across the space and just has the immediate connection to the stories.
Here at Honest Ed's, the exhibit visitor mix was about as eclectic as the goods on sale out on the floor. About half were your typical gallery goers, surprised to find art here amidst discount t-shirts and cheap housewares. But then the other half, the Honest Ed's regulars, dragging around worn plastic shopping bags, were just as surprised. Meredith Davis hadn't planned on coming by the store at all.
It was something we randomly decided to do, out of the ordinary, on a Sunday afternoon.
And yet, she found some interesting items in the exhibit.
A couple of the wedding dresses were kind of cool. It was this one. I thought that because of the intricate detail, it was really unique and beautiful. It's got white buttons in front of a zipper that are hidden, so it makes it look that you have to hand do up each button. Hand-sewn beading, and it's a short knee-length dress, and it's a strapless, and it's got a white bow, and it's very poofy.
What do you think it would be like walking around in somebody else's clothes for a while?
I'd be wondering what they were doing in it, but first off, and how they felt in it, and how I'm feeling in it, and if we had the similar, experiences in the dress, and we could add to them and make it more unique to each other.
People buy and wear vintage clothes all the time, but how is this different from just a regular vintage shop?
Because you can borrow it, and then it adds to the story, and each person will have their own unique set of stories to the dress or to whatever else they decide to buy or rent. And it's really unique.
Carla Correa has been working the floor at Honest Ed's for 5 years. On her break, she slipped into the Honest Threads display.
You were particularly interested, it seemed, in the white gloves. What was that all about?
It's really old. It was from 1934. So that's an old piece of art.
And when you tried them on, what did it make you think of?
It felt like someone else had used it in 1934, so it felt cool, but it didn't fit me because she was skinnier than I was, I guess.
When you know one of the contributors, the connections are sometimes quite personal. Judy Markham contributed a patchwork sweater and then took time to seek out one of her friend's contributions.
There it is. Found it. It's just the tiniest picture of Wendy ever. That's hilarious. Gray hand-knit sweater with three buttons up front and red and white stripes on neck and cuffs. Wendy Roland. This is the only sweater that my mother ever knit. She made it for me to take away to university. I remember arguing with her over the size. I wanted it to be big, but she thought I wore all of my clothes too large and baggy. I still wear them that way. I think we called it a rag wool sweater. It was modeled after a popular kind of winter socks, gray with red and white stripe at the top. I wore the sweater all the time. It was warm and cozy and made me think of my mom. She died of ovarian cancer just after I started my fourth year of university. She was 47. Oh, wind. That's great. I love that sweater. I always borrowed it from her.
Honest Threads is not the kind of art you peer at politely with your hands clasped behind your back. Like lenders, borrowers are encouraged to participate. You can blog about your borrowing experience on the Kofler Center website. Some people leave a surprise in a pocket for the next borrower to find. Hooley McLaughlin participated in another way.
What did I contribute? Well, a very minor piece to this wonderful jacket. I in a moment in time, the people who saw me in it didn't know it, but they were seeing a piece of a legacy of Ed Mirvish, a little bit somebody cared enough to do this show in his store. Somebody cared enough to donate his jacket for this purpose. Somebody cared enough to pick it out, and somebody cared enough to wear it, and so it carries on. And but I want to say something else, and that is that Iris Heusler's art installation contributed something to our local culture that we hadn't seen before, and that is the chance to reflect on who we are by wearing somebody else's clothes, you know? So I contributed by participating, by saying, okay, I'm game, I'll participate. And although it took only a small amount of courage to do it, it took a small amount of courage to do it. And I, like many others, said, okay, I'll try it. I'll do it. Because after all, you could go in and say, oh, this is cool, but no, I don't think so. But I thought, no, I have to do it.
But sometimes the connection is pure serendipity.
Oh, it's got a little inner pocket right here. Look at all these pockets. Oh, a comb!
Oh my God.
A little black comb! Oh my God. That is crazy. That's the exact kind of little black comb my father would use. And my father loved Ed Mirisch. That's fantastic. A comb.
And it's not hard to imagine impresario and showman Ed Mirisch himself zipping that very comb through his hair just before one more of the hundreds of publicity photo ops that line the walls of Honest Ed's, a true Toronto landmark. For Take 5, this is Peter Stock.
H-O-N-E-S-T-E-D, Honest Ed, crazy Honest Ed.
Do I have to do this again?
Would you please? For me, because it's going to be very important for me.
Honest Ed has holes in his socks, but his bargains are damn good.
Darn good.
Darn good.